Praise the Lord, everyone. Glory to God, glory to God. Good to be in church this morning.
Amen.
Amen. No other place I'd rather be. While you're standing, though, Brother Marquardt needs our prayer desperately. He's really failing. My wife spent 4 hours with him in the hospital yesterday, and if God doesn't intervene, he'll probably not come out of the hospital. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for the provisions that you've given us. For the beating you took that we can ask for healings this morning. We ask, God, that you'd reach down and touch Brother Marquardt. Lord, he's been suffering so long. Be with Sister Marquardt, if you will, God. Continue to be with Sister Brown in her healing process and Brother Claymore. Jesus, we're grateful for what you've done in Pastor Portman's life. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And starting in verse number 14, this is Paul talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he's saying, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of. How many people have spoken into his life? He's saying, don't change now, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration or God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. You'll notice that scripture isn't just for information, but it's also for correction and reproof. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You may be seated. Psalms 37 and 37, it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man. And the word mark here in the Hebrew means to put a hedge of thorns around or to guard and protect. Over the last few months, we've had a number of beautiful babies born in the church. Amen. Mondays in the Weatherspoons and Pettits, and there's going to be more to come. Amen. But you see, we need to put a hedge of thorns around them to guard them day and night, because this world isn't very friendly, and we need to protect what God has given us, you see. Their outcome will be determined by how we protect them and what kind of input they receive, especially in these early years. Most of us are what we become because of words that have been spoken into our lives by parents and teachers and relatives and friends. We become what information we have received. If parents and teachers picture a great future and compliment them on all of their attributes, well, chances are they'll be very successful in living for God and very successful even in this life. However, if they're told that they have no abilities or worth, you dummy, you're never going to amount to anything, what are the chances that they'll succeed in life or succeed with God? Every little comment and impression leaves a mark or an imprint on those that are around us. Amen. If you'll turn to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Very familiar scripture. I think I've used it in every baby dedication in the last 34 years. Verse number 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." There needs to be some input. There needs to be some imprint on their life that as they get older and there are more challenges, well, they stay with what they've been told. And then if you'll go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, in the verse number 4, it's known as the Shema. The first thing a child is exposed to is this scripture. And we find in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The first thing, the most important, is there's only one God. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in their heart." Well, how do they get in their heart except they're told? These are the important things in life. The church is a place of protection and a place where all of these words are imprinted on people to enable them to overcome the things that they're up against in the world. Verse number 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk to them when thou sittest down in thy house, and when thou walkest by the wayside, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You got to keep talking to your kids about the things of God and how important God is. You need to keep filling them with the words of God and testimonies. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon their hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." And I've taught on this, the phylacteries that they wore. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." It needs to be some scripture on your walls at home that remind us. We have scriptures all over this church about the things that are important. It's the Shema. All zebras look alike, right? I've seen zebras up close, and you know, they're black and white. And but the fact of the matter, a zebra is very individual. All churches are not alike, just as all zebras are not alike. The fact of the matter is when a baby zebra is born, the mother protects the zebra, and the way the mother protects the zebra is blocking out all other zebras from her sight, so she imprints on the mother because she has specific patterns and stripes on her that someday if she would be lost, she can find the pattern of her mother and be safe again, you see. What we're doing is we're putting an imprint on our kids to make sure that later on they're not going to be lost because they remember. They remember. Some might think that we're overprotective of our children and also our new saints, but we're putting a hedge of protection around them. Because we get information in the church, but we have to live outside the church, you see. We're putting a hedge around them, just as Paul wrote to Timothy to protect his ministry. "There is no better time to teach them than when they are just born or when they are just born again." You know, when people think, well, they have to mature a little more in the church before we tell them all of the things that they need to do. No, they're more susceptible when they're a new saint. They're more susceptible when they're a child than any other time. That's right.
If
you wait until they're a teenager, it might be too late. Now understand that each of us are the product of what has been imprinted in our whole life. How we grew up and what we were exposed to. And we are constantly hearing words of encouragement from the Word of God and from the preaching and from people who we associate with. And there is a constant voice of God reassuring us that He loves us, that He's never going to leave us, and this is how we fight our battles. Every service leaves a picture and a positive mark on us, whether we understand it or not. There's imprinting that is going on. The question that we all face is, how will we respond to the input and the imprint of God's Word in our life? We've heard it. You've heard hundreds and perhaps even thousands of sermons over the years. How has it affected you? And what have you done with what you've received? So if you'll go to the New Testament, go to the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse number 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," you know, sometimes we look at this is what you're supposed to do. Is there liberty there? Absolutely. God meant all of these things to give us protection and freedom. "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth," that ETH means always, "therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So, what are you going to do with this morning's sermon? You know, how is it going to affect your life? In my home Bible studies, we always come to this scripture at one point or another. And my illustration is, you know, get up in the morning, you walk in the bathroom, you turn the light on, you look at yourself in the mirror, and then you have to decide, am I going to do something about the way of my look? Am I going to comb my hair, wash my face, shave, and brush my teeth? Or am I just going to turn the light off and walk away? No. You have to do something with what you see in the mirror. And this book is a mirror. It reflects what God is and how you look according to what God's Word says. You are being imprinted this morning. For 3.5 years, Jesus was pouring himself into his 12 disciples. Every day, giving them information and encouragement. Did Jesus put his hand on the shoulder of Peter while he was making an important point? Were there tender conversations? Were there tears and perhaps laughter as they walked together? I believe there was. I think he was very intimate and close to those he wanted to have more knowledge. How vital was his time, these conversations, in developing the apostles who laid out structure for each and every one of us? They were being transformed with each conversation with Jesus. You're transformed with every sermon, every Bible study, every tongue and interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit, into new creatures who literally turned the world upside down, according to Acts 17 and 6. Early on, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have waves of communication, but because they wanted this to be perpetuated, they were talking. There was conversation with everybody they came in contact with. Our God speaks to all of us if we really desire to hear him. But he also speaks to us through conversations we have with just people within the church. Amen. And that's what we should be doing, talking about what God has done for us, because it builds our faith and encourages us to do more and to be more, you see. A word from somebody after service, and you know it was God. You have a problem, you have a situation in your life, you're not sure what you do, and then you have a casual conversation with somebody in the church, and God speaks through that individual as to what you should do. Even small talks or little discussions on godly topics, chats over coffee, some brief, some lasting for hours. You start talking about the things of God, and then all of a sudden, there's not just two people there, but there's three people there. Some may just scratch the surface, others much deeper, the life-changing power of conversation. And why God put us together is to help one another. Don't feel bad when somebody calls and says, where were you Sunday or where were you Wednesday? It's because God loves you and sends somebody to you. We need interaction with each other. It's called the church. I talk to ministers all over the country on a regular basis. I just talked to somebody from California this week, and they speak into my life because I need them to speak into my life, as you need someone to speak into your life. I can't count the times of laughter and tears as the power of God ministers to us. It's a safeguard. It's a hedge, if you will. I've had whole thoughts and memories of all of the conversations over the years, and from time to time I go back to those individual conversations I've had with someone which has shaped and formed and encouraged my life. Conversations with great men of God that influenced me over the years, which shaped my perspective, give me wisdom and profound inspiration in the things of God. And as they casually pour out over a lunch or a dinner, or even as I drive somebody back to the airport after they've preached in our church, conversations that mold my life and later are then transferred to you. You see, we need to see those who have been successful living for God. What did they do, and how can I complement that? Their imprint on my life. I relive conversations with great men like Reverend Billy Cole, who is probably the greatest modern-day prophet that I know of. Thousands and thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost and miraculously healed. I remember sitting in the car with him and trying to squeeze out as much information out of him as I possibly could. And when he gives information like that, you know, I can be a success because of what he has done or whoever else you're with. It's a ministry. Every one of us have it. I remember talking to Brother Nathaniel Urshan in my living room years ago. He was our general superintendent for over 20 years, and I just almost sat at his feet. Tell me more. Because these are men of success. Brother Urshan had a church of over 2,000 for many years. I spent a couple of days with Brother Bernard driving him to conferences, and he's our current general superintendent. And I talked to him about the things that are going on in his church. Before he was ever general superintendent, he wrote so many books on holiness and his perspective. Paul Mooney sat at my dining room table and said things that I'll never forget. Again, a man who was so successful in Indiana Bible College and a church of over 2,000 people and wrote a number of books. There are too many to list that have spoken words of inspiration that have strengthened my life in order to direct this church the way it should go. Not every zebra has the right stripes. But you've got to be connected. You have to have an imprint that says, this is the right way to go. And here's the success. This is what God has done in my life, and it can happen to you. It's not just any old way. I still remember the words of my own pastor and practically every sermon that he preached. And it's had an imprint on my life, and I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let down. Brother Haney, Brother Mackey, Brother Littles, all of these men, great men of God, they are there. They're a part of the ministry. They're the gifts of God according to the scriptures. It's hard to explain how those conversations come back to encourage or bring to mind a word or a phrase spoken to us at just the right time. Many times in just casual conversations that can alter your lives. And I realize the privilege I've had and the influence of great men of God in my life. And you need to have godly people in your life speaking into your spirit over and over again. It has also given me the authority to preach to this church the things I know that are important. When there are some who are letting down and changing, I know I can't, because I know what's right. And when we deviate from the things that are right, then God isn't with us. Church is not fun without God. You know, we're not here to please people. We're here to please Almighty. And then God is the one who adds to the church. Glory to God. There's not a new way. There's not a new plan. Knowing that patriarchs of this message stand for the word and won't compromise the truth, which causes me to hold on, should cause you to hold on to how you were raised and how you had an experience with God, our kids need to have the privilege of having the same experience that we've had over and over again, but they need to understand it's available to them. But I'm afraid that our conversations at church have wandered from the things of God to the mundane, talking about routines and day-to-day activities, sometimes coming in and just interacting with each other. How has your week been? And all of that is great for outside the church. But I think while we're here, I think we ought to concentrate on the things of God in the church, to encourage one another. You don't know how you're ministering to somebody else who needs what you have, the words that you can impart to them that might change them, that would cause them to come back next week and the week after. Instead of the eternal things that will make a difference in our lives, we need to talk about God and how God has affected us on a regular basis. So much conversation, but does it have a value in the kingdom of God? That's the question. Like me, everyone needs someone to speak into their lives. Just a word of encouragement. You need to walk out of here remembering. After I'm done preaching for the next couple of days, I'll still be digesting what I've preached. And I'm hoping somehow words linger in your mind and your heart, that it becomes a part of you, not just an entertainment or something that fills up some time. There are some gray-headed people here that need to speak into our lives. Of the the young people to recognize the relevance of talking about what's going on in your life. What is God doing? If we don't, this generation may not survive without it, you see. We can't teach this generation to live solely fueled on emotion from the experience in song services. We have to go beyond the emotion, beyond the song service. We must have discussions of the importance of the things of God that will lead them to the same commitment that we have made to this apostles' doctrine, and to be unrelentless, defending at all costs our doctrine without any compromise. I've experienced what the early church had. You've experienced what the early church has. It has not changed in 2023. We can still open this altar and people can walk up here without any knowledge of God and raise their hands and be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to know that the door's open for them. You don't have to get good in order to get God. All you need is God, and then you will become good because the Spirit of God will change us and take out the stony heart and put a heart of flesh within us and cause us to want to walk in His statutes. But we need to be saturated by His Spirit in order to make this an easy trip to heaven. But if we're not saturated on a regular basis, we're trying to do it on our own will, our own fortitude, and it just won't work. Preaching is indispensable. It fortifies our defense against false doctrine. You know, when they train tellers, they don't give them counterfeit money. They just give them all real money. So when a counterfeit comes, they can tell this is not feeling right. And when you're hearing the Word of God preached over and over, not watered down, strictly just what the Word of God says, when somebody else speaks into your life with a false doctrine, you immediately reject it. But in contrast, intimate personal conversations bring a unique closeness beyond preaching. We should want to share what God has done for us. It's a sharing of what God has personally shown us and what God has personally done for us on a daily basis, and that should be on a daily basis. That builds our faith to see the same things happen in our lives over and over again. These conversations weld us together so we then can accomplish great exploits for God. If God did that for you, God could do it for me. I've recognized over the years as I teach home Bible studies that within those 10 or 12 weeks of home Bible studies, people get so excited that they want to now tell somebody else about what God has shown them, that it never rained before the flood. All these little things that they now have power of that information, and now we want to extend it to somebody else. So that extends that Bible study to a new group of people, you see. And it's always talking about the things of God. Hallelujah. These conversations weld us together. Amen. Conversations confirm that we're on the same page. We're still walking. We're still doing the same thing. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they agree?" What the enemy would want us to have is division within the church. You believe this and I believe that. Well, you can find, you can still believe. No, God wants us all to be on the same page in order to agree and have power in the church. I've said this over the years, but some years ago, My wife and I were down in Cabo San Lucas in the city, and we came out of a mall, and there was a couple that was approaching us, and they looked Pentecostal. I can't tell you how I knew, I just knew. And they said, "What's it like in there?" And I said, "Well, there's not much." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I found out this couple was pastoring down in Texas, and they were on a cruise, and they had just several hours in to look at the city, and we stood there talking for, I don't know, half an hour. And I said to Brother Benson, I said, "You know, in these last days, we need to make a clear sound as watchmen on a wall." And immediately, he began to weep because months ago, God told him exactly the same thing. He was dealing with some things in his church. And he said, "God, send somebody to me to confirm." So this pastor from Wisconsin meets this pastor from Texas in Mexico. How does God orchestrate that? But what I want you to see is God can use each and every one of you within the church to imprint things within other people's lives.
Yes.
We are our brother's keeper. Over the past year, there's been a continuing theme in conversation I've had with many preachers, and it's this: are we becoming too reliant upon human abilities and talents instead of the moving of God's Spirit? My pastor was not a conference teacher. He was a teacher, but there were things that he said that got into the heart and the soul of people that caused them to want to live for God. When God puts these thoughts in the minds of preachers and then they share with each other, then we are assured that we're moving in the right direction, because God has a theme for all churches at the same time. And as he directs through his Spirit, he's motivating our church to go in the right direction. As preachers and saints alike, we need to advocate the same doctrine, holding to the same commission, and affirming our passion for truth over and over again. And that's what strengthens the church to be used by God in great revivals. Because we're all on the same page. We all want to see the right thing happen. These new babies desire the same experience that we've had. Hallelujah. It won't be long before those babies will be walking up and down this altar area. They need to have the same commitment. I wasn't raised in the church. A lot of you weren't raised in the church. I had a conversion. I had to have a great change in my direction. I didn't know if I could actually live for God 45 years ago, but I determined I'm going to do it one day at a time. I'm just going to come to Sunday morning service, and then it wasn't enough. And all of a sudden, I couldn't get enough of God's word. I had maybe 4 home Bible studies in 1 year just so I could get more information. But our kids who are born in the church have to have their own conversion. There has to be a time when they say, I don't care if mom and dad are going to live for God at all. I'm going to live for God, you see. Dad, you're not going to church? I'm going to church. Hallelujah. We fortify our walk in holiness and freedom from the love of this world through our conversation with each other. And the best way to ensure the keeping of our truth to the next generation, to our children, to our grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren, is for our generation to sit down at a table and detail our personal experiences with God. Do your kids know how you got saved? Do your grandkids know how you got saved? So they can hear the incredible stories of what saved us. And what has kept us saved. And the battles we've gone through. And how God miraculously kept us when we couldn't take another step. We need to sit down with them at the seaside like Jesus did with his disciples. Be real. Recall some of the disappointments and some of the persecutions so they aren't blindsided thinking everything will be perfect because you're living for God. No, honey, there's going to be some difficult times. But it's going to be worth it all. Don't forget the divine provision, the miracles, the power of God to keep them through the uttermost, that God has personally chosen them to be a part of these end time revivals, the greatest time in human history. Our church has a lot to say to each other and to those that are around us. We have a testimony that is so powerful of what God has done in our lives. Cancers healed, hearts repaired, people delivered, raised from the dead, financial issues restored, families put back together, depression replaced with joy. They're like the 12 stones in the Jordan River to remind us over and over of how God brought us out. And we must tell the world, and especially tell our children. I see people troubled, and they know there's a God that loves them, but when there are a bunch of other hands on them, reassuring them, God's with you, it's going to be all right, you see. We are the hands of God. Paul had this son. His name was Timothy. There were many hours that Paul poured himself into Timothy. He wrote 2 letters to him, and we have the benefits of these letters. Take a look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Starting in verse number 1. He's saying, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see how this keeps going? Thou therefore endure hardness. There's going to be some problems. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. There are some people, he's saying, haven't stayed with the word of God. And where are they? They're shipwrecked today. Our children need someone to speak into their lives. It's not just the responsibility of the Sunday school teacher or Power Hour teacher or someone else within the church. Moses' farewell address was the entire book of Deuteronomy, because he knew after he was gone, there were going to be issues and difficulties that the people would have to go through. He prepared the people to overcome even after he was gone with those words. We've got a God who has done exactly the same thing for us. Yes, he's filled us with the Holy Ghost, but there's going to be some difficulties. But he's given us a lot of letters that show us how much he loves us and how we can be victors. Moses knew that there would be battle after battle, so he spoke into their lives with words from God. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy, if our ushers would come, our musicians, rather. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 1. He says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemy, and seeth horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land. You see, he brought us up out of this world. He brought us up out of bondage. And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemy. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy to save you. It's going to be some battles. He said, when you come up against the battle, the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. You can do it. In other words, remind the people the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Then the high priest would yell out the words, And the next priest would repeat those words, and the next priest would repeat those words, and so on and so on. The word of God is preached, and there's somebody who should yell out, and somebody else should yell out. Somebody else should say, it's not our battle, it's God's battle. Are we repeating the words of the Lord? We can do it. Our children need to hear us say, you're going to be great for God. God's going to use you. The battle's not yours. The battle's not yours. The battle's not yours. It's God's. We need someone to speak into our lives. I don't care if you've been in the church for 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years. You still need those words to be said. You need to hear it to be encouraged by it. Amen. I'm so grateful for those in my life that spoke into me. I'm not turning back. I shall not be moved. Amen. We have to preserve that for the next generation and for our children. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I know when we come to church, we want to be ministered to, and that's a good thing. But consider this. When you come to church, is there somebody that I can minister to? God, would you direct me to somebody that needs a word of encouragement? Can I minister to somebody else, not just being ministered to? Because we have plenty of information, we have plenty of experience, we have plenty of testimony of what God has done in our life, but it's not as powerful unless we speak what God has already given us to somebody else. Amen. And I've been so encouraged by so many things as a pastor over the years. I've gotten to that place where I felt a little down, and instead of having a pity party, I'll call one of my pastor friends and say, how are you doing? And inevitably, amen, God's got a word of encouragement for me. Yeah. And maybe that's what you ought to do. Feeling a little down on Tuesday, maybe you ought to call somebody who's spiritual within the church and say, how are you doing? And see how God will speak through them to you to help you. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?